Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another beautiful Sunday to praise our God. It's a very special Sunday this morning because we have Pastor Joel Gertner here. He's going to help lead us in our service. Pastor Gertner is the Vice President of the Lutheran Home Association. He's also the National Director of Jesus Cares Ministries, and he's going to guide us through a Jesus Cares ministry service this morning. Jesus Cares is a special needs ministry. So everything you need for the worship service should be in your bulletins. You'll notice that it's also up on the screens for you as well, including the words to all the hymns will be up on the screens. But if you wanted to see the words right in front of you or the notes, you'll see there's an insert there as well with the songs. After the Jesus Cares Ministries service, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. So prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord. Please also note that for the distribution hymns for the Lord's Supper, the first one you'll also find in the insert. The second one will be in the red songbooks. And with that, I'll leave it to Pastor Gertner. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Thank you for, first of all, the opportunity to be here. I like coming to much warmer weather. It was 41 degrees and snowy when I left Milwaukee yesterday morning, so that was nice. But even more than that, the opportunity to show your congregation what Jesus Cares Ministries is all about. And part of the conversation that Pastor Groth and I have had is, as you see this service this morning, might this be something that your congregation perhaps looks at doing? The real impetus for my trip here is next weekend. I'm going to be over at St. John's in Vacaville. And you talk about a ready-made opportunity for Jesus Cares Ministries. Pastor Hoppe over at Vacaville serves as the military contact pastor for Travis Air Force Base. And we've been made aware that there are 600 families at Travis Air Force Base who have children with special needs. I'm pretty excited. Friday afternoon, we're actually going to get to meet with the individual who coordinates services for all those families. And it just seems to be like God is opening the doors for us to really do something down in that area. But as you're going to hear as we go through the service this morning, there's opportunities for that all over the country. So thank you for the opportunity to really share that with you. There's our mission statement for Jesus Cares. Jesus Cares Ministries assist congregations in reaching out to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, their families, and communities. Three things I would like you to note about that mission statement. We assist congregations. And usually the first way that assisting happens is exactly what we're doing with your congregation this morning. Introducing Jesus Cares, helping you understand it a little bit better, and then inviting you to perhaps consider being a part of it. The next step in the assisting usually then is training people within a congregation to begin a Jesus Cares ministry, and then supporting them as they go through that work. You notice the third line of the mission statement, reaching out. And I think you're really going to understand that, especially as we go through our devotional message this morning. This is a mission field that is largely untapped, and I think you're probably going to be a little bit surprised how big of a mission field we're talking about. And then you start to see those whom we're serving, people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, someone with Down syndrome, those on the autism spectrum, some of our friends with cerebral palsy. But you notice that it also says their families and communities. And that is an area that we're just starting to get into, because when you have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone with special needs, you get the opportunity to interact with their families as well. I'll touch on that a little bit more later on. Think for a moment about everything that goes on as a part of St. Mark congregation. And you could probably put it into three main areas: worship, Bible study, and fellowship. As Pastor Groh said, our worship this morning is going to be the Jesus Cares worship service. And I'm going to try to do it almost exactly like I would do it for a Jesus Care service. There's a couple things I'm going to explain in a moment. I'm traveling cross-country. I didn't have the opportunity to bring everything, but I'm going to try to give you as much of a flavor as possible. The fellowship portion of Jesus Cares is called New Friends. That's where we engage high school and college students to be a true and genuine friend to those with special needs. We have currently Wisconsin Lutheran College is where New Friends started, Martin Luther College. It's neat to see a lot of our future called workers understanding the opportunity to serve those with special needs. And next Sunday will be the 10th of our area Lutheran high schools that have a New Friends program as well. The Jesus Cares Bible class is like a simplified Sunday school for individuals with special needs. I'll talk a little bit more about that during the Bible class hour this morning. Remember I talked about families. One of the other things that we do is a small group mentor program for parents who have a child with special needs. Right now there are roughly 160 Jesus Cares programs, literally coast to coast in the country. There are none in California right now, so we'll see whether you guys or Vacaville get started first. We'll see what happens there. But if you go up, we'll see how tomorrow goes. I'm going to try to visit a couple of the Jesus Cares programs up in Southern Oregon tomorrow morning. But that's not the total extent of Jesus Cares, literally coast to coast in our country. In conjunction with the Wells World Mission work in Malawi, Africa, we have been doing Jesus Cares work there for just about 5 years right now. Take a look at the church in the background there, and yes, that is one of our churches in Malawi. I often say that's probably the simplest and humblest church I've ever worshipped in. But I look at that picture, and I really think about the volunteers and the work that they're doing. That picture is from 5 weeks ago, Thursday. I had the opportunity the early part of September to make yet another field visit to our Jesus Cares work in Malawi, and I'll talk a little bit more about that during the Bible class hour this morning, too. A couple things about the worship service before we get started this morning. Like Pastor Grill said, everything is printed in the service folder, and that's simply for ease of your use. I would encourage you to watch the screens as much as possible, and I'll tell you that when we do this service for a Jesus Cares program, there is no service folder. And there's a very practical reason for that. Many of those who attend Jesus Cares, in addition to the cognitive challenges that they face, they also have physical challenges as well. So for them to use a service folder or a hymnal like you and I do, probably most of the time without even thinking, doesn't work really well for them. So we have the service up on the screen. Remember I said I'm going to try to do it almost as if it was a Jesus Cares program. You're going to notice as we sing the songs this morning, I'm going to be using a rhythm instrument. This is the one thing, I just didn't have a way to bring my whole big bin of rhythm instruments halfway across the country. But I brought one along because I wanted you to see these and I wanted you to understand the very real purpose of these. A lot of times when I come into a congregation, I start handing out rhythm instruments before a service. Everybody's looking at me like, what planet did he just come from? But like I said, a very real purpose for the rhythm instruments. A fair number of those who attend Jesus Cares are nonverbal. They can't speak, they can't sing, but yet they want to be able to participate in the song, so we give them a rhythm instrument to play as we sing the song. So I just brought one to sort of give you the idea with that. Along those same lines, you are also going to stay seated during the entire service. Again, think of many of those who attend. For them to do what I call the Lutheran stand-up sit-down with their physical challenges does not necessarily work very well. So until we get to the communion service, you're going to stay seated for the entire service. With that, let's go on ahead and begin our worship. You see there the first of the five picture symbols that will guide us through the service this morning. We worship at the cross because on a cross, Jesus got rid of all the bad things that we do. Something else you will come to understand very quickly about this service. It is much more what I call informally interactive, probably than we're used to. You know, we're used to having printed responses in the bulletin or the hymnal. This gets a little bit more informally interactive. I'm going to give you a taste of that right away. What's a word that we often use for the bad things that we do? Sin. So this service allows us to teach the basic truths of Scripture within the context of the service itself. You notice up in front of your altar that small, simple little altar that I have set up there. And that, again, is to help you understand. Most of the time, this service does not take place in a sanctuary. I love your sanctuary, but I'm going to give you a very real illustration of why normally this service doesn't take place in a sanctuary like this. Imagine that we've got 25 individuals with special needs in wheelchairs. How's that slanted aisle going to work? Where are we going to put them all? And that's a very real illustration from a Jesus Cares program in the Milwaukee area that we had about a year ago. So most of the time, this service takes place, say, in a fellowship hall or something like that, where it's all on one level, where there's room for them to move around and everything else like that. But just like everything else in this worship space, we want to have that worship focus. So like the candles on your altar, we light the candle to remind us that Jesus is always with us. And the interesting thing is if you were to go to a fair number of our Jesus Cares programs, it would actually be one of the individuals with special needs who is the designated candle lighter. Think about how that gives them significance and meaning and everything else like that. And then we ring the bell to remind us this is the time that we listen to God's word, that we sing to God, and we pray to him together. Here's where the interaction gets real, because I'm looking for a volunteer to ring the bell for us this morning. Anybody want to ring the bell for us this morning? Nobody wants to raise their hand, huh? You will. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. So imagine that I'm doing this for a service where I've got primarily individuals with special needs, and I say, who wants to ring the bell? How many hands are going up? Every single last one, right? And you get to some of these services. The Jesus Cares worship service has been around for about 10 years. Some of these services where they've been doing it for 8, 9, 10 years, you turn around and everybody's got their hand up already because, again, it's a very real way for them to be able to participate in the service itself. So there you have the first of those five picture symbols that shows us the start of the service, the cross, the candle, and the bell. If you look through your service folder, you notice that every response that you're going to speak is one simple sentence long. And again, that's for a very practical reason. Many of those who attend Jesus Cares, for them to say something like the entire Apostles' Creed would be very frustrating for them. So we give them simple one-sentence phrases if they can focus out of time. And that includes the way that God's Word is shared in this service. In the Jesus Cares worship service and the Jesus Cares Bible class, we take a simple one-sentence Bible verse and we focus on that. There's our Bible verse for this morning. We're going to say it together five times during the worship. Would you please join me as we say it for the first time? See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Our first song for this morning is probably the most favorite song of many of our Jesus Cares services. We're going to sing two verses of Jesus Loves Me.
Thank you.
something else you would observe if you get to see a Jesus Care service. A lot of times you have to remind them to put the instruments down after we're done singing. They get a little excited they get to play them, and you got to put them down. So let's say our Bible verse together again. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. We worship God. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We all say amen together.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, come and be with us today. Bless our worship. Give us understanding as we listen to your word. Give us joy as we sing to your glory. Give us peace as we bring our prayers to you. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we all say amen together.
Amen.
So there you see the next picture symbol. The person on their knees before the cross reminds us this is now the part of our worship where we confess our sins and hear of God's forgiveness. Think for a moment of how this part of the service would go if we were to use one of those orders of service from the front part of the hymnal. Right, there's those paragraphs that we say together, Holy and Merciful Father and everything else like that. Again, that would be very difficult and probably even frustrating for many of those who attend Jesus Cares. But think for a moment about the four things that we do when we speak that paragraph together. Acknowledging our sinfulness, confessing our sins, acknowledging that we're forgiven only because Jesus died on the cross for us, and then asking God to forgive us. So watch how that happens over the next four slides. Dear children of God, our God is holy. He does not sin. Our God is holy. He does not want us to sin, but we are sinners. We do what God tells us not to do. We fail to do what God tells us to do. Let us tell God that we have sinned with these words, God, I have sinned. Everyone?
God, I have sinned.
Let us tell God that we are sorry we have sinned with these words, God, I am sorry. Together?
God, I am sorry.
Jesus died on the cross instead of you. Jesus' death pays for your sin. You can be certain these words are true when you say, Jesus died for me. Let's say that together.
Jesus died for me.
Through faith in Jesus, God forgives all your sins. Let us tell the good news in this way. God forgives me. Everyone?
God forgives me.
So think about those last three words that we just said. And there's the next picture symbol. And this is the way I always do it when I'm at a Jesus Cares program. I ask them, give me one word that describes the way the person that picture is feeling. Anybody have a word?
Yes.
Probably the most common response. Happy or joyful. Anybody have another word that comes to mind?
Thanks.
Pardon? Thankful. Okay. Maybe relief. I always like to share probably the most interesting response I got. It was not at a Jesus Cares program. You folks can understand being at an 8 o'clock service. I had gotten many of the same responses that we just had, and then I had a five-year-old boy who is sitting right down in front here, and you know how those five-year-olds are, right? They're going to put their hand up, and it's not going down until you call on them. His word, exuberant. That was exactly, I tried not to laugh out loud, but that was my response too, because I'm like, how do you know the word exuberant at the age of five? But the reason I share that is this. It doesn't matter what the word is, right? We all understand the fact of the joy and the peace that we have because our sins are forgiven. And so we say, thank you, God, for taking away my sins. Let's say it together.
Thank you, God, for taking away my sins.
As forgiven children of God, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. Now we know that we have forgiveness for all our sins. Now we know that we are your people. Now we know that we will live with you in heaven someday. We all say amen together.
Amen.
Let's say our Bible verse together again.
See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut.
Our next song, we'll have an introduction, then we'll sing two verses of God Loves Me Dearly. Picture symbol, the open book with the cross, reminds us that now this is the time that we get to hear God's word. One of the things that you've probably noticed about this service already is that it is very visual and concrete. And that's one of the things that we really stress for those who are either leading this service or teaching the Jesus Cares Bible class, is that you have to keep in mind those whom you're trying to reach. You need to keep things simple, concrete, and very understandable. So I've got a couple pictures for you to start our devotion this morning. Anybody figuring out a theme so far? Okay, we'll keep going. Yeah, somebody's starting to get it. One more and see if you notice anything. Open door, right? So we've said that Bible verse together three times already this morning. And I want you to look at that metaphor that God led the Apostle John to use. I have placed before you an open door. And think about how maybe someone used that metaphor with you at some point in your life. Maybe somebody said something like this: the door of opportunity is open. You better walk through that door before it closes. Remember I said at the beginning when we talked about our mission statement, reaching out. I want to help you understand probably like no time in history, not only in our country, but I'll tell you from our work in Malawi, really across the world, how wide open God has swung that door and continues to hold it open for us to reach out to those with special needs. I'm not going to start here in your area. We'll come back to your congregation in your area in a minute, but I want you to really understand the bigger picture. Right now, there are, in our country, approximately 10 million individuals who are considered to be those with special needs. But don't focus on that number so much as this. Of those 10 million individuals with special needs, 80% of them and their families, or 8 million of them and their families, don't get the opportunity that you and I are having right now this morning. The good news is, in the last 5 years, that number has actually gotten better. About 5 or 6 years ago, it had been closer to 90%. But I think you realize still the 80% is not good at all. And let me help you understand why. Ever happened to you here at St. Mark's, or maybe it happened when you were worshiping somewhere else, the pastor's right at that point in his message where he's trying to make the one point that he wants you to take home and apply to your faith life for that week. And it's exactly at that moment that that three-year-old in the back pew decides to let us all know that they didn't get a good night's sleep last night, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Pastor Colander and Pastor Groth know no pastor worth his salt tries to go toe-to-toe with a screaming three-year-old. But you know what happens when that goes on, right? You're trying to pay attention up here, but you're sort of trying to discreetly look over your shoulder, and in your mind you're saying, whose kid is it? Why can't they keep them quiet? And for crying out loud, why don't they take them out of church? Imagine, though, for a moment that it's not a three-year-old who didn't get a good night's sleep, but that instead it is a 12-year-old boy on the autism spectrum who, because of everything that has gone on in the worship space so far, he has a sensory overload and he has a meltdown. And at least in his parents' eyes, all they see is everybody looking at them, right? With all the eyes looking at those parents, what do you think the chances are you're ever going to see them in your church again? Right? Because whether you intended it or not, the message that you just sent to them is we don't welcome that kind of behavior around here. I had for a number of years used that as a sort of a made-up example, but a little over a year ago, I had a very real story shared with me. I'm thankful I don't know which of our Wells congregations it is, but that very scenario played itself out a little over a year ago in one of our Wells congregations. And after the service was done, one of the members of the congregation came up to that boy's parents. And they said, if that's the way your son's going to act, please don't bring him back here anymore. And you're going, how on earth could someone be so cruel and rude and heartless? But I will tell you, as I've gotten to know parents who have children with special needs, that's exactly what they deal with all the time. They share with me the comments made under the breath, the eye rolls, and the looks. And when they finally find a place where their loved one with special needs can come and worship and learn God's word and grow in their faith, some pretty cool things happen. The number one concern for most of those parents who have a child with special needs is who's going to take care of my child after I'm gone, and I'll talk about that more during the Bible class hour. But right along with that is I want to make sure that my child knows Jesus as their Savior, because I want them to spend eternity in heaven with me. Let's not dwell on the negative. I want to share with you just a couple recent stories of how when that door is open and we actually take advantage of it, some pretty amazing things happen. A year ago in May, my wife and I had the opportunity to attend the confirmation of a young lady who's been involved in Jesus Cares for probably about 15 years in her life. Leah was, I think, 23 years old when she was confirmed. So you understand right away, those confirmations may take a little bit longer. But I need to tell you something else about Leah. Leah is one of those that I mentioned at the beginning of the service who is nonverbal. So her mother and the three teachers from their congregation who assisted their pastor in doing Leah's confirmation instruction had a whole host of visual things where Leah could point and see what was being taught in the story. Right before we got to confirmation, Pastor Zietlow contacted me and said, okay, how are we going to do this? And I shared with him the simplified confirmation vows that Jesus Cares has put together. If you know sign language at all, you know that this is the sign for yes. Okay? So we get to confirmation Sunday, Leah's with Pastor Zietlow, and he says, Leah, do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Leah, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? I think you know where this is going, right? And I think you can probably understand that we got about three questions into there and there was not a dry eye in the congregation, because this congregation got to see a young lady who had grown up in that congregation be able to profess her faith and be able to be confirmed in a way that worked with her. It was even neater because at the end of the service, then Leah got to come up with her parents and receive the Lord's Supper for the first time as well. Second story I want to share with you happened just this past May at Abiding Word over in Houston, Texas. And I'm going to share with you simply the first phrase that was shared with me by the woman who's the Jesus Cares Coordinator at Abiding Word in Houston. She said, "Never before have I seen a line at the baptismal font." Middle of May this past spring, as a part of the Jesus Cares worship service on a Saturday morning at Abiding Word, 13 people were baptized. Okay, I know it's not the 3,000 of Pentecost, but when was the last time any of us saw 13 people baptized at one time, right? What's really interesting is when you understand the makeup of that group of 13 people. It was a mother and her 12 adopted children, all with special needs. So as a part of that Jesus Cares worship service, Pastor Matt Brown baptized that mother and 7 of those children with special needs. And if you look at the picture, you're going to see children ranging in age from early 20s to, I believe, the youngest one was 7 years old. After that Jesus Cares worship service was done, Pastor Brown walked the 2 blocks down the street to the house where that mother lives with all of those children, and he baptized 5 more because those other 5 were not able to come to the service that morning because of the challenges that they faced. I think you're starting to see the open door, right? Just incredible opportunities, the desire to have the gospel shared, the desire to welcome those individuals into God's family and into our congregations, just like the rest of us have the opportunity. One more picture for you this morning. And I know we're well past Easter Sunday, but I want you to think about when you saw that picture, maybe on the screens, maybe on a banner, maybe on the service folder on Easter Sunday morning. And now I want you to think 40 days past Easter, Ascension, right? And think of the very last words that our Savior spoke before he ascended into heaven. Very familiar words from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. I just want to focus for a moment on the very first part of verse 19. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." I'm guessing, first of all, Matthew 28, 19, and 20 are probably in that first group of 10 or so Bible passages that many of us memorized, right? But how often have you read those words in your own personal Bible reading? You maybe heard them read in church, preached on in church. Maybe you studied them in Bible study with your fellow Christians here. And I'm guessing for most of us, as we've heard those words, we've thought something like this. Okay, go and make disciples of all nations means we don't just share Jesus here in Northern California or on the West Coast. We share Jesus all across the country through Wells Home Missions. We share him all across the world through Wells World Missions. That's a part of it. I'd like you to also think about those words in this way as well. When our Savior said, "Go and make disciples of all nations," he was not only inviting us, encouraging us, and telling us to share him with people of all nationalities. He was also telling us to share him with people of all abilities. That's probably, if you listen to me speak, that's probably my favorite way to refer to my friends with special needs, is as differently abled. Because have you ever noticed that so often when many people meet an individual with special needs for the first time, what's the first thing they focus on? What they can't do, right? Or what's different? Let me give you a very real, in our lives, application of that. So maybe you're getting together with family or friends for lunch or dinner or some sort of gathering later on today. And as you get together, whoever invited you all introduces you to everybody else, and they said, instead of using your name, they say, this is my friend who has diabetes or high blood pressure or is ready to drop over from a stroke. We don't do that, do we? So why is that the way that we treat our friends with special needs? You talk to just about any one of our Jesus Cares volunteers, and they will tell you that probably the greatest gift that God has given to many of those individuals is a simple, childlike faith and the willingness to share that faith and to share their love just about anywhere. And I'm going to give you a very real example that happened to me. I live in the Milwaukee area right now, but I lived in the community of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, where I served. I lived there for about 2 years after I accepted this call with the Lutheran Home Association. So Saturday morning, my wife and I walk into Walmart, and I think I'm all of about five steps into Walmart. And all of a sudden, from halfway across Walmart, I hear, "Worship of the Cross, Worship of the Cross." And here's one of the men who had come to our Worship of the Cross service, pointing at me and letting everybody between me and him know where he knew the two of us. So when was the last time you stood in the middle of Walmart and pointed out all your fellow Christians to somebody else, right? He didn't care. He wanted everybody to know that he knew me and how he knew me and the connection and those types of things. So now bringing it very local. I shared with you the mission field that God gave us over in Vacaville, but I want you to think right here in St. Mark's sphere of influence. How might you be able to reach out to some of those 8 million individuals with special needs who don't get to be with us and hear the gospel on a regular basis? Any of those live in your neighborhood? Are they maybe the children of your coworkers? You ever get the opportunity to interact with any of them in the grocery store or somewhere out in public? So say St. Mark's looks to begin a Jesus Cares program. Who could you invite? And I want you to think even more than that. If St. Mark's congregation looks to walk through that open door and touch that very big and very wide open mission field, what role might you possibly play? Might you simply be one who comes and is a friend to all those who come to Jesus Cares? If we talk about the Bible class, could you be a teacher? Could you be someone who does the crafts? Could you lead music? Oh, just like in every other good Lutheran thing, they like food and fellowship too, so we have people who bring food. If as you're listening to all this morning, you're thinking, maybe I don't know exactly how, but I think I see somewhere in there an opportunity for me to use my gifts in this ministry in service to my Savior. On the two bookcases out in the entryway, I've got sign-up sheets. And we're simply asking folks who are interested to put their names down. And I'm going to tell you a couple things. Whenever I ask for volunteers for Jesus Cares, I want them to know two things. First of all, you're not making a lifetime commitment and signing your name in blood. And secondly, you're not saying, I'm going to necessarily be there every single time. About a year and a half ago, I did exactly like I'm doing with your congregation this morning at St. Paul's in New Ulm, Minnesota, just down the hill from Martin Luther College. And I had a gentleman come up to me after the service, and he says, Joel, he said, I'd love to help, but he said, there's one thing. I can maybe help 5 months out of the year. November, December, January, February, and maybe March. Figure out this gentleman's a farmer. He could help in the months where he wasn't busy out in the fields working. And I said, John, put your name down. And he loved the fact that there was that flexibility type of thing. And one of the things that we really try to do in every congregation that we look at having a Jesus Cares program is have that wider pool of volunteers so that there's some flexibility and so that people are not tied down all the time. So if you're willing to put your name down, please do that, and then I'll stay in touch with Pastor Grohl. I've actually started doing these training sessions online, and it works pretty well. So I'd like to, if that's something that your congregation is interested in doing, I'd certainly be willing to do that and see how we can help you walk through that open door. There's our next picture symbol. And no, we're not going to say the Pledge of Allegiance this morning. But think about it in terms of their world. Do you ever stop and think about it that every time we say the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, it's like saying a Pledge of Allegiance to God, isn't it? So I'm going to show you, think about what I said earlier. I'm going to show you the simplified way in which we do the Apostles' Creed in this service. The leader speaks that longer part of the creed that we would normally all say together. You see the simple one-sentence response in red. We're all going to say that together. And then after each of the three parts of the creed, we sing one of the verses of the song, Father, I Adore You. We'll have an introduction the first time. Second and third time, we'll just jump right in and sing it. Let us respond to God's word by telling everyone what we believe about God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We tell everyone that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, with these words, I believe in God the Father. Let's say it together. I believe in God the Father. And then we'll sing it after the introduction. God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. We tell everyone we believe this with these words, I believe in Jesus Christ. Together?
I believe in Jesus Christ.
And we'll sing it.
Jesus, I adore you. May my life be for you. How I love you.
We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We tell everyone we believe this with these words, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Everyone?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
And we'll sing it.
Spirit, I adore you.
Think about everything that we've talked about so far this morning. Let's say our Bible verse together again.
See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut.
So I'm guessing you've probably figured out by now this service follows the exact same pattern of worship that we do week in and week out, right? If you were to actually attend a Jesus Cares service, that service is probably 20 to 25 minutes at the longest. Again, that's what works for most of those. And you think about where we're at in the service. You know, if the creed is after the sermon, what do we normally have next is the offering, right? And we're going to gather your congregation's regular offering in a minute. But understand that this is something that we encourage as a part of the Jesus Cares worship service. Perhaps you've noticed how more and more of those people with special needs are getting the opportunity to work, right? You know, maybe they're helping in a restaurant, maybe they're bagging groceries at the grocery store. And just like you and I like to be able to say thank you to God with our offerings, they love the opportunity to do that. So we encourage an offering as a part of this service as well. At this time, we'll gather your congregation's regular offering. About in our normal pattern of worship, usually after the offering is when we have our prayers. We might have a prayer that deals with whatever the focus of worship was that particular day. Then we have any intercessory prayers. We've got a couple this morning. I'll come back to that. And then you think about how, at least in worship, we usually close our prayers with the Lord's Prayer, right? I'm guessing that probably most of you were taught, like I was by my parents, that when you say the Lord's Prayer, you fold your hands and you bow your head. I'm not asking you to be disrespectful to those who taught you that, but I'm going to encourage you, as we say the Lord's Prayer this morning, to look up on the screen. Because you're going to see that not only are the words up there, there are pictures as well. Again, remember I said very visual and that type of thing. But I will tell you that I found that our, what I call our visual Jesus Cares Lord's Prayer, serves another purpose for me, and I'm guessing probably for many of you. I will plead guilty with the rest of you that I don't know how many times I've said the Lord's Prayer, and the words are coming across my lips. In my mind, I'll tell you, if it was when I was leading worship, I'm thinking, okay, what do I have to do next in worship so I don't look like a fool up there? Or if I'm in the congregation, my mind is drifting to what do I have to do this afternoon or what's on my schedule this week. Just look at those pictures, and it's just a fantastic focus for us on what we're praying about in each part of the Lord's Prayer. So I said we've got two intercessory prayers for your congregation, and I'm guessing probably for your congregation that's about normal on a weekend, right? So what happens next weekend? I don't know who's up, Pastor Coland or Pastor Groth, when all of a sudden they get to this point in the service and they stand up and they announce, here are the 20 intercessory prayers that we have. I'm not going to ask you to share with the person sitting next to you what's going through your mind right now. But I share that with you because 20 is usual and maybe even light in the Jesus Cares worship service and the Jesus Cares Bible class. Remember that simple childlike faith I talked about earlier? I will tell you that most of the time when I walk out of a Jesus Cares service, one of the things that is running through my head is thank you for what you taught me about living my faith from those that I got to lead in worship at the Jesus Care service this morning. And many of their prayers are the same ones that you and I would bring. God, this person is sick. Please make them better. God, this person has gone home to heaven. We ask for your comfort, you know, a special situation in life, a birth, an anniversary, or something else. But then you also get those prayer requests that give you an insight into them. You can always tell when it's Special Olympics time because they either ask the Lord to bless their participation in Special Olympics or they thank the Lord for what they got to do in Special Olympics. I will share with you, the volunteers at Faith in Fond du Lac would often hand me the stack of prayer requests. And the response was two words, have fun. But it was, you know, okay, you're going to have some pretty interesting prayer requests in here. But again, that simple childlike faith, they didn't care. They knew whether it was the smallest thing in the world, the seemingly most insignificant, or the biggest thing in the world, they weren't afraid to ask God about it. The two prayer requests that we have for your congregation this morning, we're going to ask God to be with Lynn Clark's brother Michael as he is continuing to battle health challenges. And then as you continue to see this past week, the start of the cleanup from Hurricane Michael, we continue to keep in our prayers our brothers and sisters in Christ at Amazing Grace in Panama City Beach, Florida. If you don't know, that church sustained some pretty significant damage, and a number of the members in that congregation also sustained some pretty significant damage to their home. So we're going to ask God to be with them and all those affected by Hurricane Michael, and then we'll join together and pray in the Lord's Prayer. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity this morning to gather in your house as your children, to hear of your love for us, and to hear of the opportunity that we have to share that love with all people. Lord, we ask that in your love you would be with Lynn Clark's brother Michael as he continues to battle the health challenges that you have allowed to come into his life. Be with those who are using medical means on his behalf, and if it's your will, bless those. Most of all, let Michael and his family place all things into your hands and say, Lord, may your will be done. Heavenly Father, we rely on not only your love, but also your almighty power and your way to be able to take care of all things in life. We continue to bring before you all those who have been affected by Hurricane Michael, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ at Amazing Grace in Panama City Beach, Florida. Let them look to you during this difficult time. For those who have sustained loss, let them find hope in you. And during this time, Lord, let all of them look to you and find the peace and comfort that comes from you alone. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and we join together in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
If you look in the bulletin, you would notice at normally at this point is when we have the benediction in the Jesus Care service. We're omitting that because we'll have the benediction after the Lord's Supper. Let's say our Bible verse together one last time. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. And then we end the service the same way we started it. We'll extinguish the candle. And I'm looking for another brave volunteer to ring the bell for us this morning. Thank you very much. Thank you much. Our last song before we move to the Lord's Supper, maybe you remember it from Sunday school or vacation Bible school. This is your gospel, right? Take it around the neighborhood, hide it under a bush, you'll know. I'd invite you to join me in the actions as we sing three verses of this little gospel light.
I ask the congregation to please stand for the sacrament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. Almighty God, grant to your church the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Good morning again. A big thank you to Pastor Joel Gertner for coming. We asked him to come and introduce the service and what a ministry might look like for a Jesus Cares ministry here at St. Mark's, and he did just that. So a big thank you. Thank you very much for coming all this way. If you'd like to hear more, and I hope you do, I pray you do, stick around. During Bible study hour, he is going to be presenting on the Lutheran Home Association and Jesus Cares Ministries, especially as he mentioned the Bible study portion of that as well. So stick around for that in between services here in the sanctuary. There's also Sunday school still going today as well. A few announcements for you. First of all, we have our Trunk or Treat coming up this Friday, October 26th. Let me share a few stats with you. I'm looking on Facebook right now. All I did was create the event on Facebook. I didn't do any sort of advertising or boosting of any posts on there at all. And as of this morning, we have 59 people who are confirmed that they are going. We have another 370 people who say they're interested. And it's also been shared 44 times. Now, if you know Facebook, 44 times is quite a bit. I've also looked at these people and looked at their names and their pictures. I think I maybe know maybe 5% of them. That means 95% or more are brand new to me. I'm guessing they'd be new to all of you as well. So a big Friday coming up, hopefully. So one thing that we do need, though, is trunks, because while we have over 400 people interested, we still only have 7 trunks signed up. I think last year we had 25. So if you are planning on doing that, but you haven't signed up yet, please do so, sign up so that we can plan it out and kind of get everything spaced out the way it'll work in the parking lot. If you're not able to come for any reason, another way that we're asking for some help is donating candy. And at the very least, if you don't want to do a trunk or if you can't do a trunk because you don't have a car, just show up. We'll get a big bucket for you. You can pretend like you're a trick-or-treating station. Just provides a safe trick-or-treating event. This way, St. Mark's members are able to rub elbows a little bit with people who are coming from our community that we otherwise wouldn't even have any sort of contact with at all. So it's a good opportunity for a first chance at developing a relationship to get them on campus here. That's this Friday. It starts at 7. If you'd like to help out, we ask that you probably be there by 6:30 just to make sure everything's set up so that we can block the area off and get it nice and safe for the kids. That's this Friday. Also, next Sunday, we're going to be having our quarterly potluck. We're calling them potlucks with a purpose, and this one has a double purpose. If you checked out the weekly update or the weekly news, you see that there's a, that kind of spoils it a little bit. But the double purpose is going to be, first of all, it's a new member welcome. And along with that, we're going to have a new member presentation where we're going to present while you guys eat. I'm going to be talking to you for a little bit, talking about St. Mark's ministry, what it is, how it's structured, how it fits in with the Wells and everything. And then we ask that parents of teenagers stay after the meal, and we're going to have a presentation by Noel Lederman, who's going to talk about the challenges and blessings of raising Christian children in our culture. So stick around for that, too. That's next Sunday, quarterly potluck. There's a sign-up for that as well, so please let us know so that we can plan accordingly how much food and space. Thank you. The Sunday after that, guess what? Another potluck. Because why not? All right. Love it. Reformation service, November 4th, Reformation service here in the sanctuary here at St. Mark's. We're going to be hosting, so help us get ready for that. And also, if again, sign up back there for the potluck. We'll have lots of people in our fellowship center, so Check that out back there as well. Those are all the announcements I have for you this morning, except for I'm going to double what Pastor Gertner said. If you are interested in helping us start a Jesus Cares ministry or at least participating in some way, please sign up in those two different sign-up sheets in the lobby. Really appreciate you doing that. Really exciting ministry, because while we don't have 600 set homes or family units like they do in Vacaville, we still have quite a bit of interest in this area. And I think if we could really drum it up, I think we'd get a lot of great ministry going there. So thanks for that. God's blessings on your week. May God continue to open up that door like he opened up heaven for you. Please stick around to greet one another. Thanks.